we referenced the 1921 race riot.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, and we're talking about you now as being 17, 18 and just getting mm-hmm. out of high school, what were you told and what did you know about the race riot?
Well, I probably knew more about the race riot than the average person because my two uncles were involved in the race riot. And we were struggling as a church. See, I was a member of the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And I worked with my uncles. My uncles, Jaffe Clinton Latimer and William Shakespeare Latimer, they told us about the riot. As a matter of fact, the story goes around that my uncle, J.C., that's Jaffe Clinton, they had finished the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And you see, my two uncles were two of the best bricklayers in town. So they worked for other white contractors. After they had finished the Mount Zion Baptist Church, my uncle J.C. had gone to work for somebody else. So had my uncle Shay. When this riot broke out, my uncle J.C., he didn't have a car. So he walked everywhere that he went. So he's on his way home, and they pick him up.
They? Who?
White cops.
National Guard?
I don't know whether it was the National Guard, but they were some officers.
Yeah.
And they took him to jail. And the next morning, his boss got to work, and my uncle, normally, he was the first person on the job. So the boss gets there. He's looking around, see who he has working, you know, and he doesn't see my uncle. He asks these white guys, "You all seen J.C. this morning?" The guy said, no, we haven't seen J.C. this morning. One guy said, but you know, they were picking black people up yesterday. So he might have gotten picked up and taken to jail because he was walking home. The guy said, okay. He gets in his truck and he goes down to the police station. This is a white guy. Walks in and asks him, "Have you all got my brother in here?" The guy says, "No, we don't have any. We don't have any white people in here." The guy said, "I didn't ask you if you had any white people in here. I asked if you had my brother in here." So he said, "Who is your brother?" He said, "J.C. Latimer. You got J.C. Latimer back there?" And somebody hollered up, says, "Yeah, J.C. Latimer is back here." He said, "Man, let my brother out of jail here. We have to go to work. We don't know what's going on here, but my brother's got to go to work." Guy said, "J.C. Latimer, come on out of there." And he walked out of jail with his boss man and went on to work.
So was that the day after?
The race riot happened all night long and then carried into the next day. So he was on his way home that following day, and they were rounding up black folk.
Yeah.
And he wasn't at work the following morning.
Interesting. They still went to
work. Yeah, they were working on this building someplace.
That was away,
from the riot area here.
Okay, right.
But my uncle, wherever they were working, he had to walk home because he didn't have a car.
What else did you hear about the race riot?
That it was just devastating. It was just devastating. You know, all the houses were destroyed, and it was just awful, they said. And they set about trying to rebuild.
Did they talk about it in school?
No.
Booker T?
Nope. The only person that would talk about it is my high school coach, Seymour Williams. He was talking about how they were looting and burning. The school was right up here. If you look at these pictures, the only building that's not burnt is Booker T. Washington High School. That was the school. That was the only building that wasn't burned to the ground.
They didn't attempt to burn it?
No. And that's where the Red Cross set up the relief station. Maurice Willows came from St. Louis for the Red Cross, and that's where he operated out of, Booker T. Washington High School.
Dick Rowland, who was the young man who took the elevator, came out of the elevator and supposedly touched the white lady.
Yeah.
I've forgotten her name right now.
Paige.
Yeah. Did they ever tell you whatever happened to him?
Yeah. He and Paige got married up there in Kansas City. That's true.
Is that
they became man and wife.
This is not funny.
They became man and wife.
And that's a fact.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Of course, she never did want to press charges.
No. Because they have been going together.
They had some kind of a relationship.
Right.
So then why was it that she screamed?
Well, I don't know that she screamed.
That's part of the lore?
Could be.
So you yourself have wondered, did she really scream?
Right.
Well, then something...
Somebody saw something.
The lady who came out of Renbridge supposedly was first on the scene. And she's the one who told officers or whatever that she thought she heard a scream.
Yeah.
She came out to see what it was, and she saw Dick Rowland then coming out.
Hello.
So do we believe then that this race riot, aided by the Tulsa Tribune, actually started because of that lady who walked out of Renberg's, who may have misrepresented the truth?
Right. Could very well have been.
Am I leading you on? You're agreeing with what I'm saying?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
But the way it's written.
Yeah, the way it's written, it would cause one to do things that they should not do. See, because Greenwood was very prosperous during the time, and there were overtures that certain individuals wanted this section of the city. See? And it was well known. But blacks weren't going to give it up. That has carried on for years. They had a report done by Hammersley Green, which moved the Central Business District all the way to Pine Street. And this was in the 50s and 60s. And this report came out. It's interesting.
So then do you think that there's much more to the story, that maybe city fathers of Tulsa wanted to move into this area and they took advantage of this?
Oh, I think so.
This scene?
Yeah, they refer to it as a riot. This wasn't a riot. This was a race war. They just devastated the whole area. But blacks rebuilt.
Yeah, I was going to say that the whites still did not move in here.
That's right. Because the blacks still owned the land, and they weren't about to give it up. So they rebuilt.
I'm still taking over the fact that when he was held in jail and she didn't bring charges, do you know then in the next days or weeks and so forth, did they both head to Kansas City?
They headed to Kansas City sometime because they ended up as man and wife.
Their children?
I don't know. I haven't investigated that. But other people have.
Have talked to descendants of that marriage?
I don't know. But what I'm saying is other people have researched that, like the guy who wrote Riot and Remembrance. He researched all of that and found out, you know, that they were man and wife. They got married. And, you know, J.B. Stratford, they tried to make him the culprit in the riot. He owned the hotel. He fled to Kansas City with his family. The story was that they found out he was in Kansas City, and they were going to go to Kansas City to take care of him. But then he moved on up to Chicago, and that's where he stayed for the remainder of his life. But you take J.B. Stratford, he has an interesting family. I don't know how many of his children have become federal judges. You know, he was a lawyer.
He was a wealthy man, wasn't he?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of his grandsons came to Tulsa when they exonerated him, you know, but he was a federal judge that time.